Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Sunday, May 12th, 2024. Coming right up, it is the Book of Romans, Chapter 7. Don't you dare miss it. This is very confusingly written in the English, and people pull all kinds of stuff out of here. But Paul, divine revelation, not man's imagination. He was told what to write down, and he has a certain style, the way he writes down. There's 14 epistles. There's algorithm. There's a pattern through Paul's writings of his 14 epistles, and there's a simple message here amongst this most confusing in the English part of the Bible possible, because people pull all kinds of bizarre ideologies out of here that don't fit into the rest of the Bible. But watch how simple this is. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7 and verse 1. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. These are people that go show up for church because that's what they did in church. They taught the Bible. They didn't sit there doing all those other filler things. It wasn't a social event. It was where you went to get taught the Bible. They taught God's laws, God's promises. These promises written in the councils of eternity. These people, you guys that have been showing up for church, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. This man is... man or woman, anybody. Yeah, it has dominion over us, obviously, because God gave us a set of institutional standards to govern ourselves by, to get back into harmony with his universe. And they're here, they're right here. Remember Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ said, I came not to change one jot or tittle of the law or the prophets. I came to fulfill. He fulfilled the blood ordinances. Okay, in Romans 3:31, remember, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish it. The law is established. We follow God's laws. Obviously, we don't drag farm animals to the church anymore and think that's going to get us some forgiveness. It comes from the heart. And this is what Paul's teaching us here. In-depth lessons. This is the ABCs of the believer's education, that it has to come from within. And it's either in you or it's not in you. And if it's not in you, don't worry about it, because you can go play somewhere else. Your ideologies will become your reality. There's no phonies in the kingdom of heaven. The law is over us. We have to obey God's laws. That's all there is to it. And now here's an example. Just a quick example. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. So husband and wife, there they are, kicking it, just trying to make it through the day. But if the husband be dead... if he kicks it, she is loose from the law of her husband. Loose, that means freed, to terminate all interaction. Okay, so, yeah, the guy's, he's pushing daisies, right? Not dead. The flesh is dead, but death in the manuscripts never, ever denotes non-existence. So this is to the atheists out there that think, oh, yeah, it's a free-for-all right now. It's all about me. What's in it for me? What can I get for myself? And then it's just... we just dissipate. No, your energy, your spirit, that's your intellect, that's the intellect of your soul, is a closed energy system. It goes somewhere when you die. You will have an existence, a conscious existence, with your personality, who you are, either in communion with God, or you can go play somewhere else where there is no praise or presence of God whatsoever. It's up to you where you go when you die. And it even says you'll be comforted there, because some people just love always having to be right. And they love creating drama and then complaining about it. And they just love their own ideologies, which will wear them out, because their own ideologies will become your reality there. It's called hell. It's called the lake of fire. It's your burning emotion. You think you know better than God. And that is just irrational. Not only irrational, that's self-occupied delusions of grandeur. And when people think that they know better than God, they say, you know, when I was a preacher in the park, I say, do you believe the Bible? So I believe some things, but not other things. So what's that mean? That you have ideologies that you think you know better than God? I want you to say that in front of the mirror. I know better than God. Yeah, I know better than God. Because what that is conflict, division, distrust, disorder. That is chaos. We are chaos right now because we're the ones that thought we knew better than God. We had our own ideologies outside of God's governmental standards, which is just, again, self-occupation, delusions of grandeur, to think that we know better than God. So here we are. and she is loosed from the law of her husband. Okay, so now, so then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she be called an adulteress. You can't just, you know, be sizing up your old man over there and just going, oh, I could have done so much better than this guy, and then just skate and go marry somebody else. That's adultery. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Okay, what's the lesson here? Death breaks all bonds, remember, of the law. Because after death of the flesh, there is no forgiveness of sin. You're instantly judged. You're going somewhere when you die. Again, you can either be in communion with God, back to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension, you know, a place being in harmony with the universe, a perpetual friendship, or in unity, or conflict, like we see on planet Earth today. It's a long, hard road out of hell. We're in hell right now. And the proof is, in the Bible says, this is Satan's dominion. When he's dragging Jesus Christ around, putting him up on a pinnacle, telling him to jump. He says, I'll give you my kingdom if you bow down to me. Who gave him the kingdom? God did. Revelation 12:4. He dumped us all in here. With us, the one third that followed Satan, gave Satan, this is Satan's kingdom right now. And Jesus Christ is going to come take it back. But in the meantime, evil has to play itself out to full measure. So there's no forgiveness of sin after death. There is no sin after death of the flesh. Either you're in the heaven side with Christ, and here's the lesson, where it's just not in you to sin. It's like not in this woman to size up her husband and go, oh, I could do so much better than just take off and marry somebody else. You know, you make the best of what you have. It's just not in you to sin. That's where we're going. And this is what this book of Romans here is all about. Is it in you or is it not in you? Is it just a facade? Or are you just obeying because by the letter? Or is it really in you to have unadulterated faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you, the most selfless act of love and compassion the universe has ever witnessed? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son as a sacrifice to a world of people that hate him. And we observe this sacrifice 2,000 years later and we're overwhelmed. We are turned, we repented, and now we are instructed. And as Jeremiah says, he smote his thigh like this and said, I can't believe that was in me. I can't believe I'm one of the one third that followed Satan and was against God. You just have to get over it. And you have to submit with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we're talking about the laws. Or you can be on the hell side. You do whatever you want forever. Just go do whatever you want. And it'll just lead to your reality will become, your ideologies become your reality there. And your reality will be full of contradictions, leading to disappointments, persistent failures. Hey, we're talking about what's going on planet Earth right now, outside of, you know, trying to follow God, which is almost, you know, it's very difficult. It will be torment, that's harassing, distressing pains of the mind. You see people that they can't be alone with their own thoughts. They always need that external stimulation to distract themselves from their internal issues. They can't focus on themselves at all for any self-improvement. But they know everything about nothing and nothing about everything. It'll lead to inconsolable anguish and permanent mortification of the soul. We pray for everybody. We don't want that for anybody. We want everybody to have the love of Christ in their heart, to get back to a place of true happiness, true peace, true contentment forever. Because hell will be forever too. Because energy cannot be created or destroyed. You go somewhere when you die. Not this flesh body. So there's an example there about the law. We follow the laws. And I know I read Romans 3:31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. We establish law. It's our stability. Wherefore, my brethren, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. What's bring forth fruit first mean? It's what you produce. Okay, we're talking about after you die, God's looking for a virgin bride. That means we haven't conceived any ideologies inside of us. We're not nursing them along like child. Woe of those with child to give suck in those days. Those are, oh, I have ideologies outside of God's word, how we should govern ourselves. I think I know better than God with my delusional, self-occupied delusions of grandeur. Okay, you can take those to hell with you. But here, good fruit. That means what we produce. What do we produce? We've submitted with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. We surrender our entire existence over to the Lord Jesus Christ willingly from the heart. This is what Paul's trying to say. Either it's in you or it's not in you. And so this is the millennium period. He's looking for a virgin bride. This is how far we fell, that there has to still be a 1,000-year period for us to get cleaned up. It's a great time of teaching before we can even get back into the eternity with de facto God, like himself. Right now, it's through our Lord Jesus Christ, a piece of God. Emmanuel, God with us. But before we can get back into the eternal temple, this is how far we fell. It takes 1,000 years. But go to verse 5. Before the millennium, before we died, and we're hopefully with Jesus Christ, all of us, but some of us won't be, unfortunately. Before the millennium, for when we were in the flesh, like we're rocking it now, the motions of sin, that's the passions of sin, which were by the law, did work our members to bring forth fruit unto death. That's what we produce. We're walking around, following our passions. Now, this is talking about what the flesh is going to do to you and what has to be inside you to fight the lusts of the flesh. Okay, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve a newness of spirit and not oldness of letter. Delivered here is the same word as loosed back in verse 2. It means, okay, we are free from the law, that being dead where we were held. This is like, we're dead to it now. We're dead to the law. It's like, say you're walking down the street, Main Street, wherever town you are, and it's busy, and like you've been up to no good. Like you got drugs in your pocket, and you know what you're going to do with them, and you see a couple cops on the corner. Well, you're under the law. You know, like you're about to get busted possibly, or something's going to go wrong. But if you're walking down the street, it's in your heart to do good. It's just in you. Then the law doesn't really apply to you because it's got nothing on you. This is what's being said. That we should serve. That means submit. With an unquestioned obedience and newness of spirit. That means your new moral condition for eternal life. We start now. It's in us now. And not in oldness of letter. This oldness is a particular word here that Paul uses. It's poliotes, and it's rules of conduct for outward conformity. That's how people used to conduct themselves. We serve now not as the old nature by the letter of the law, by just people, okay, I'm a good person, I'm obeying the law, but it's in us to do it. You know, it's not. We're not doing it because of consequences. We're doing it because we have the love of Christ in our heart. Now, this, not in oldness of letter, we have to go over this to make sense of this, how Paul uses the same grammatical expression in Romans 2, verse 29. And we're talking about what circumcision is. Circumcision of the heart, circumcision of the ear, Jeremiah 6:10, Deuteronomy 10, Deuteronomy 30. It's circumcision of the heart. Peel away that dirty covering. That's what it means. In the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God. In the spirit, it's in you to do it. You're not just walking it because, okay, these are the laws, I'm going to obey the law, and you really don't have faith in God. It's just not in you. You're just doing it because that's just the way you want to conduct yourself. But just, you're not giving credit to the Creator. You're walking it with a dead faith. Faith without works is dead. What shall we then say? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except by the law, thou shalt not covet. What's he saying here? He's saying, well, I didn't hear the law before. So if no one taught you the law, which we don't really have an excuse now because everybody has a Bible and everybody has access to this. But back then when you sent in these letters to the Romans, they didn't hear it before. So coveting, hey, that might have been just the way it was. Like today, coveting is like, that's rich white men have normalized coveting. We see what they do, like personal gain and personal wealth and greed and gluttony have just become normalized and institutionalized by rich white men. They've set up and funded a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. It's all about you. It's all about your personal gain, your nest egg, your net worth. Okay, but now what he's saying here is, before I was told the lie, this is one of the big 10. Yeah, I would covet, because you didn't know. This word lust, covet, and compensance in the next verse are all the same word. Okay, you got a verb and a noun here. It's epithomia, and it's same as the curse on Cain. What's being said here, before we heard the law, the curse on Cain was on you. Your longings and wantings will rule over you. It's like Satan's messengers are personal demons that take possession of people. Some people are so wretchedly poor that all they have is money and material things because they've coveted. That's never enough. They're so wretchedly poor. All they have is money. We are bound by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this is such a short time period. And remember Revelation 3:17, it says, oh, you think you're so rich, rich man, with your bank account and your shiny things. But you're so poor that all you have is money. And what are you going to do when you die? You have no inner peace whatsoever. We pray for these people. We just see them. We know they're scrambling at night. They can never be alone with their thoughts and just be at peace like Lord Jesus Christ when you get the love of Christ in your heart. So that's Revelation 3:17 when he says, oh, you think you're rich, but you're wretchedly poor. You're so poor, all you got is money. For we were, okay, lost my verse. Okay, verse 8. But sin taketh occasion by commandment, wrought in me all manner of compass. Okay, it's the same word in the manuscripts, lust, covet, and compassance. For without the law, sin was dead. Okay, because we didn't know any better. So remember, again, this word, but sin taking occasion. He uses the same grammatical expression in verse 11. Occasion here is aphame, and it means the starting point. So by sin, taking the starting point, where is the starting point of sin? In your thoughts, your intents, and your actions. It comes from inside of you. And this is the believer's education. The ABCs are here. It's in what is inside of you. There's no phonies in the kingdom of heaven. You'll never be sitting in the kingdom of heaven and you'll see someone smirking at you, or that glow of a mocker's face that's always illuminated by their own persistent unbelief, chronic disobedience, and their imaginative criticism, or the collective imaginative criticism of all the scraps of information they get from all the media out there. And then they come up with their own irrational, delusional ideologies, which will become their reality. And they're always in contradiction. You always notice the argument of a heathen person is so predictable because it always contradicts itself. It always has to come back to some theory, some hypothesis. It's never a linear progression towards the truth. That's what God gives us. He's letting us know. You free will entities, you want to try to govern yourselves with your ideologies? It's a 100% fail. We see it on the world stage today. Mankind has a 100% failure rate at governing ourselves. We simply must be governed by a principled set of beliefs, by a consistent thought pattern that only God has. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Okay, sin revived. I was alive without the law. Yeah, I was tripping around. I didn't know the Bible. That was like me when I was younger. I went to church, but they didn't teach us nothing. So what do we know? What do we get taught? We're 17, 18 years old. Hey, get out there and make money, boy. The whole world revolves around money. There's rich white men in their ideologies telling us, you know, you're straight to hell with their ideologies. But, you know, we're alive. We're still kicking around. And the commandment came and sin revived. This just means it gained strength because now I know better. Like Hebrews 10:26. Because now I know better. That's what it means. Hey, I know this is sin. And so when you know better, what does Hebrews 10:26 mean? Some of the most daunting words in the Bible for some people that should know better. I would like to know, how can you go to church on Sunday and then just go to your office on Sunday afternoon? Like, it's one of the big 10. Like, I just some of this stuff that you look back on and you pray for those people. Where do they get these ideologies? And Hebrews 10:26, for if you sin willfully, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifices for the sins. Okay, so if you sin, like you just say, yeah, I know I should be coveting after this, but you know what? I'm going to go to work on Sunday so I can get more money, so I can get more stuff, so I can have all this shit or stuff and things, shiny things. That's the curse on Cain. How can you, like the Big Ten are the easiest ones to follow. And here Paul hits the Big Ten three times. It's too bad this translator, lust, covet, and concupiscence. Like, it's all the same word. We went through that, epithumia, and it's the curse. Your longings and wantings rule over you. And they're going to rule over you into hell, and it will never be enough. And it will be forever. Torment, harassing, distressing pains of the mind. In the Greek, it's called basizo. When you see that word, torment. And we pray for these people. We don't want anybody over there. Like, at first, they're going to probably like it. Say, hey, no praise or presence of God whatsoever. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son as a sacrifice to a world that hated him. We're the ones, the one third that took off on God in this age. In the next age, in the hell, there's going to be no savior. There's no way out of there. Now, I've been studying this, and me and Tammy talk about this. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 44 says, hey, we can, some of us can pass over the gulf and talk to certain relatives. There's strict rules. And when we come back, we are, it's an 8-day cleanup, man, because we're filthy. They'll just be on you. Like, I mean, just on you with their ideologies, just constant flapping of the jaws. Just all their lies are just exhausting, you know. And then I noticed in the Quran, it says that, yeah, some people can make it out of the hell side. I wouldn't count on that, okay? I think those are very slim margin ideologies to even take that chance, because us, as it's written in the book of Peter, even the righteous barely make it. We barely make it into the kingdom of heaven, and it still takes us 1,000 years before we can be presented to God himself, de facto. So if you want to take that chance, you know better. You know the Ten Commandments, at least everybody should. I remember when I was in school as a little kid, they were up on the wall. Well, they threw those in the garbage. But anyways, we know to teach, okay, our children and whomsoever will. So it says, sin revives, sin gains strength, because, hey, you know better now, and I died. This is subject to die. Remember, death never denotes non-existence. You're going to exist somewhere in your spiritual body forever. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. This flesh body back in the dirt. We're just spiritual beings going through a flesh experience, and God gave us a way out. And this is nothing more important than where you go when you die. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. It just killed me to obey. When I found out that everything I knew was wrong. And we can all relate to this now that we've been born again and we're being taught the Bible. Like, everything I was taught, it's just a lie. The lies are just exhausting. There's always a lie with it. There might be a little grain of truth, and that just tails off into some big lie. And it's just overwhelmingly exhausting that there's only one, perfect in righteousness, perfect in trustworthiness. We're talking most precious in the universe. Perfect. Here's the perfect truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, that great separating force between right and wrong, good and evil, and heaven and hell. It's your only way out. For sin taketh occasion by the commandment. There's that phrase again. It's the starting point of sin. Deceive me, that's expatio. We know this as we study together. That means wholly seduced. That's like what happened even. Wholly seduced me and slew me. This is apoctino. It means I was subject to die. I was seduced by sin and subject to die. We all go through that. In the flesh. That's all there is to it. The flesh is constantly pulling us towards sin. Now here's a key verse here. Wherefore the law is holy. Hey, does that say the laws don't apply anymore? Can you go have a pork sandwich now? No. The law is holy. The commandment's holy. Just and good. Romans 3:21 again. All these people that teach me the laws don't apply anymore. For do we make void the law through faith? No, man. We establish it. Matthew 5, 17, 18, 19. Maybe I should just go there just quickly, because it's so important to understand that we are under the laws. Obviously, God gave us a set of institutional standards to govern ourselves by, to get back into harmony with his universe. You can't just say, oh, the laws don't apply anymore because my pastor misread the book of Romans. For think not, this is Jesus Christ. Don't you think? I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill the blood ordinances. And he opened the doors to the ministry of salvation through that most selfless act of loving compassion the universe has ever witnessed. He did not sin. He walked it. Satan was hyper-focused on him. He took the lowest earthly position for us so none of us could say anything. Oh, Jesus Christ, you don't know what it was like. He had Satan de facto hyper-focusing temptation and sin just to get Jesus Christ to sin once. Then the kingdom of heaven would not be valid. We would be screwed because only the one that did not sin can forgive you for your sins on a judicial level. That can allow you judicial clearance back into the kingdom of heaven. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle shall in no way pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Jot or tittle, he's referring, for the deeper student, to the Masoretic text there. Wherefore, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach people to do so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Hey, don't you think you're going to be sitting there in the kingdom of heaven and going, oh, he's the least. No, you're on the other side because you misled people willingly by overstepping your spot in the member body of Christ and not being able to teach this simple book and telling people the laws don't exist, like I was told over and over as a kid. They don't exist anymore. Or someone would say, the laws are for the Jews. They can't tell me what's the difference between a Jew, a Hebrew, and an Israelite in the Bible. Oh, wait till we get to chapter 9. We'll go through that. But anyways, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. So there you have it. I think I forgot to go somewhere, but faith without works is dead. James 2:26. We're talking about, it's what's inside of you. You have to be, it has to be in you. Unadulterated faith and belief that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, our salvation, our deliverer, our Redeemer. Faith without works is dead. You can walk the law and be a law-abiding citizen, but if it's not in you, God knows. There's no phonies in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, this is part of the most difficult area in the English, but it's such a simple message, so just let's just do this together. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. All he's saying here, I'm just going to summarize from the manuscripts, okay? You must be able to recognize sin. And to recognize sin, you have to work at it and have faith and belief. Unadulterated faith and belief to have relief with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you always inquire of the Lord for knowledge and wisdom and understanding. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. We are sellouts in these flesh bodies. That's what we're doing here. Do you actually think a loving God would put his children in these flesh bodies? We were born with sin in us. We went over this. That's why we're here. We have one chance here to come to terms with what is inside of us. That is not conducive to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. And God is fair. He knows what's inside you. That's why in Romans chapter 1, we went over all those brutal human characteristics that people carry. Some of them, you know, outwardly, and a lot of them inwardly. You just don't know who people are. Malignity is the one that stands out. It's just in them. This includes the enemy within. You don't know what people are thinking. That's why Jeremiah 17:5, you can't trust people. You can trust some people a little bit more. Show me your works. I'll see your faith. You can't just fade away and just make it up. Okay, so the law is spiritual because it's information. That's what we're talking about. It's not physical matter. Spirit. You see the word intellect is not in the Bible. It's your spirit. That's the intellect of your soul. That's your reactive attitude that motivates all your actions. Your soul is an energy. Your spirit's an energy. Your soul is what you are. Your spirit is who you are. Your personality, your character, your governing index of your inward thoughts, feelings, and intentions. Okay, it's a closed energy system. It can only exchange information. That's why we know the law is spiritual. It's information, manifestation of the law in our consciousness. But I am carnal, sold under sin. It just means we're walking in the flesh. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to read the next three verses for, and believe me, it's not even possible to understand these verses in the English and for the newbie, but I'm just going to make a summary, very simple message here. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is more than I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me. For I know that sin in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good things. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I found not. That was translated by Shakespeare. Tripping balls on magic mushrooms. They should have got Snoop Dogg and 50 Cent to translate this. But what it means is the power to do right just seems to escape me walking in the flesh. The struggle to do the right thing while the flesh urges you otherwise. And it's a strong urge. The flesh will always push you towards seeking pleasure with an instant reward. But the mind must overrule the flesh to seek happiness, contentment, and inner peace. It's the difference between happiness and pleasure. You can't buy happiness. Oh, you can buy pleasure all day long. You can buy soon-to-be-outdated stuff built with the planned obsolescence. Continually to buy. Hey, rich man, you're so wretchedly poor. All you have is money and your stuff. Okay, we pray for these people. Because you think about this little short flesh age. It's such a short time period. And think infinity forward, infinity back. All this stuff and things that you're pursuing now, that you're coveting, all your longings and wantings are going to lead you straight to the hellside with other people. And it's just the saddest place. It'll just be a place full of contradictions, torment, inconsolable anguish forever. That's why it's called the lake of fire. It's a harbor or haven. Hey, they can't come into the kingdom of heaven. They don't want to be there anyway. They don't like God's ideologies. So what do you care? So you're over there with your ideologies and you think you know right and you always have to be right. And well, that's just fine. It'll be a permanent mortification of the soul. You just wear yourself out. Lake just means harbor, haven, and fire means the internal passion of the mind. You can't be wrong. It's burning emotion. It's what's inside of you. Okay, now let's go to, for good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Just stuff happens in the flesh, even though in situations we find ourselves in. It's like, holy, but you got yourself into that. And God's not judging what happens to you, He's judging what you do. Always remember. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. This is what he's saying is the meek. This is what being meek is. Sin dwelleth in you. But being meek is a big deal. And to understand what the word meek means, remember it's in Psalm 37 and in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And this word meek is anav in the Hebrew. In the English, meek means easily imposed upon and submissive. But meek, aav, in the Hebrew, means to afflict yourself with self-discipline, learning to say no to yourself in the face of all the vain curiosities that your flesh is driving you to constantly. The vain curiosities that come up in your face all day long. You confront them daily. And you have to learn to say no to yourself. It's the assertion of willpower over basic desires is what Paul's saying here. It's the difference between happiness and pleasure. It's about showing restraint. And this is the whole thing in here. It's either in you or it's not in you. And if it's not in you, don't sweat it out, man, because you're not going to be alone. But if it's in you, that's great. We get back to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. And remember, you know, me and Tammy talk about this all the time, like our close family members. What a deadening sadness inside. They don't care. We know they don't care. They just don't care, you know? But we pray for them constantly because they're going to end up with their ideologies will become their realities somewhere else. And we pray for them. But Jesus Christ gives us an answer to that. Who is your mother? Who is your father? Who is your daughter? Who is your brother? The many-membered body of Christ. Us, that's in us to be together to get back to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. We know God only chastises those he loves. We know The chastisement is good for us because God knows how much affliction each of us needs to humble for the eternity. That's how much he loves us. He sent his only begotten son. He gave us a way out because we can never get ourselves out of here unless we submit to an unquestioned obedience to the one that did not sin. Only he can forgive you at a judicial level to allow you judicial clearance back into the kingdom of heaven forever. So what are you chasing after now? What are you working overtime for now? What are you doing now with your time? This is what people do. It's in them to covet their time. Oh, this is my time. I'm just going to spend the next 8 hours playing a video game or watching a Netflix I'll serve God when I get around to it. You know, some people say, well, no, I don't have time on Sunday. I got to walk my dog. Well, if picking up dog shit's more important than God, then you know what? Like, what do you want from us? Like, we pray for you. We pray for the whole human family. God wants his children back that can only be reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other two-thirds of the angels are watching us just right there beyond our current understanding and perception of physics going, these guys can't come back here because look what they're doing to planet Earth today. Look how they're carrying on. Look how they're governing themselves. But they rejoiced when one of us repents. 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present in me. Wrong lingers. I have to think about it. Who doesn't? You know, sometimes, you know, you just thoughts come into your mind. This has been a big problem with me recently. It's negative thought patterns. I keep praying. My Lord Jesus Christ, please. Please, by the power you so graciously bestowed upon me, I rebuke Satan, all evil spirits, demons, devils, all powers, principalities of Satan, everything that is offensive to you and your kingdom. I rebuke from inside me and all around me, including vain thought patterns and these negative thought patterns that are running scenarios through my head. And Jesus Christ, helping me get rid of those thought patterns and the source thereof. Please saturate me with your Holy Spirit. Cover me with your veil. Wrap me in your vesture. Please hold my hand. I pray for your love to come into my heart. And I pray that for everybody out there today. Because everybody is struggling. Everybody. I said that to somebody the other day. Everybody's struggling. I'm not struggling. I'm not struggling. This guy's got more torment than anybody I know. Harassing, distressing, pains of the mind. We're all struggling. It's a long, hard road out of hell, and we are chaos. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Okay, well, happy we have God's laws to get us out of here. After the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. There's a war in your head, everybody. Doesn't matter who you are. There's ideologies that cross your mind that are outside of God's word. Okay, a war inside your head and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So what he's saying is just wrong lingers and only faith can overcome the lingering wrong. Faith in God. We got a way out of here. We're out of here. You know, sometimes, like, I'll give you an example for myself. Like money's a big problem. Money's a big problem. Like, minus 10 cents in my bank account, and it's just like, maybe I better stop doing these broadcasts and, you know, get my tools together and get back on a construction site. No, I have faith and belief. This is what God wants me to do. And every day goes by, weeks go by, years go by. I got a roof over my head and I'm fed, having faith in God. Because the ways and things of the world are always pulling you back in. You know, don't let other people's aggressive dishonesty make you doubt yourself. Never let a phony disempower you. They say to me all the time, Michael, what are you doing? Like, you were making money, you're driving newer vehicles, you're going on vacations. What are you doing? Are you making any money at this? They're trying to put a guilt on me. I said, you don't even have a clue what it's like to have an inner peace. To know where do you go when you die. Like, things that you're trying to get me to get back into the money thing. You can't buy manners, morals, respect, character, common sense, trust, patience. You can't buy self-worth, class, integrity. People think they can buy, oh, this personifies me. See, my truck is shinier, and you're newer than your truck. Yeah, big shot me. I am phenomenal. No, you're a phenomenon. You're an object of your own perception, and we pray for you. Your longings and wantings are ruling over you. It's never enough. And this is what's being said. It's in you. to long and want, and you have to fight that. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? It'll lead you to death, not non-existence. It's just a death state. A life with Christ, Jesus Christ is the light of life, or the death state, that is Satan's. And it goes on forever. I thank God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I say there's a natural order of things there. When you pray, you submit with an unquestioning obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, my Lord Jesus Christ. And I love what you did with all my heart, all my love, all my soul, my Lord Jesus Christ. All my love, my trust, my thanksgiving, all my praise, all my worship, my entire existence belongs to you and through you, to you, my Lord Jesus Christ, and through you to Father who art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven. Sacred is thy name, Yahweh is thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven through Yeshua Messiah. He's getting rid of the world of evil. That's why there's so much evil in the world, because all the evil in the world comes from the human heart, and we're watching it play out on a world stage today. So then, with my mind, I serve the law of God with my mind. But the flesh is still going to try and pull you away. Always remember that. Don't beat yourself up. You can control your mind. You can't control past events. Always remember that. Things in the past. You can't live in the past. Don't be like Lot's wife, looking back. Oh, those are lusty good old times back then. Always look forward to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. It's a long, hard road out of hell. And Jesus Christ is the way. He is the light. He is the truth. That great separating force between right and wrong, good and evil, and heaven and hell. I want to thank you very much for watching. Have yourself the greatest day, and bye for now.